We're at 6 o'clock. We're the big hands on 12, so I'll call the meeting to order.
Emails from certain places.
We've got, like has been noted, we've got information from Rem and Simone that they won't be here tonight, but we're still missing three others who might show up. The next item, I think, is to look over the, take a couple minutes while we're munching and crunching and look over the meeting notes from the 1st of September. Which went away like, I couldn't believe how fast that month went. Additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to okay the minutes from the September 1st meeting. I'll move. Second?
I'm going to abstain. I wasn't here.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay.
I wasn't here.
Well, I guess I can second it. So it's been moved and seconded. Do you agree?
Yes.
I do too, so we'll get it passed on. That rolls us into the updates. What do we hear from the public health over there?
Well, we're all public health now.
So, yeah.
So I'll cover a few things, like kind of operational issues. So we, our leadership, and Roxanne Wolf was going to be here tonight, but she had a conflict, something at home. So, you know, it took a while, I think, for our leadership, Dr. Melnick, Roxanne, and others to kind of go through the budget, et cetera. We, and then sort of figure out how do we bring the SWEO team folks, which includes like a lot of the outreach and the operations, Kim and Mike. But and so we did. So we just wanted to briefly show you the organization of the, it's a whole of environmental public health because that's the group they fit into, which already included the solid waste enforcement program. So is that a?
My computer decided.
It's spinning. Okay. But because I wanted to show you that structure and understand just a few details about it. But basically. You know, I'll start from the beginning, which is environmental public health was two managers, myself and Joe Laxon. Joe Laxon oversaw food safety, school safety, pools and spas, and beach monitoring. And then I oversaw on-site solid waste enforcement and hazardous waste, which is more these site hazard assessments work. And what we call the water resources team, which is folks at the onsite and the well, drinking water. After sort of, and then of course, Cindy Steinbarger is a program coordinator, and she's coming over from SWEO, and she's going to serve in that capacity as a program coordinator too, and oversee some of the SWEO staff that were doing like a lot of the green schools, green business work. Other outreach work, and like the recycling work. You know, Pete is staying in the group, and he's doing what his natural gardening and composting and things like that. And then, for the operations side, I'm now supervising Kim and Mike because it just made sense. You know, because the work that Melissa does is sort of dealing with the facilities and inspecting them. And so it just kind of made sense not to break it up between me and Joe Laxon since there was a lot of commonality between the responsibilities and kind of the roles and knowledge base that existed in there. And so that's how we folded them in. And then Andrew, who's, I think, and correct me where if I get too wrong, but you know, Andrew did a lot of work on outreach and sort of served as a public information officer for all of the work that the SWEO team did. And he is a program coordinator one. And so when he came over, and we already have a PIO, an information officer, Don Strict. So we thought Andrew could help us in environmental public health with all of our programs as far as like how do we do a better job, because again, a lot of the work that they've been doing and he's been doing has been really good, as you guys have seen and I've seen since coming to these meetings. But we also felt that because he was a program coordinator, he could also help us in other programs. So we're now kind of finishing the defining other ways he can support all the other programs, the water programs, the on-site programs, etc. So there's the chart. Yeah, there we go. So, I just got to point out, Andrew's box is bigger just because he his title was longer. But so this, what this is here to illustrate is sort of the organization up through the leadership. Like right now, and since I've been at Public Health since March of 2015, Roxanne has been my boss and direct report. She's the chief operations officer. But we will switch over to another member of the leadership team, they think sometime later in the fall, but I think Roxanne will pick up a lot of Janice's. But basically, we'll all report to a leadership team member who currently is Roxanne. So Joe and I, but that middle bar. And then the other thing is we have other staff that do a lot of work, mostly in the other programs as far as people that are coming in for permits and things like that and reviews that we have to do for septic systems, wells, etc. And some office administrators that this doesn't include Jana. She's within SWEO. But basically, so we're also bringing in an office manager. We'll probably start recruiting that in November. But this is sort of what we're calling the Environmental Public Health Management Team. Cindy Steinbarger, myself, Joe Laxon, Andrew will be part of that team, and then the office manager once we hire them. And I pretty much described all that before, that the direct reports that we all have. And again, for Cindy and the SWEO team, it'll be permanent staff plus others. And I think we're in the process of hiring some these techs. And then also they get a lot of interns and folks, AmeriCorps volunteers. So that's the new organization. I think in the end what we were trying to do was balance, maintain a lot of the structure that existed for the folks that have been that are coming from environmental services to public health, but also try to keep some programs together and knowledge areas together, and try to balance the scope that each manager has. So I don't know if you have any questions. And then again, I think as the plans right now are to move, to have the SWEO folks move over into the public health building probably, it's probably sometime mid to late November. And once they're there and we really start working more together and be together more day in and day out.
You gonna have room for all these folks?
We have room, but there's had to be a lot of moving because to fit all of us together, we wanted to keep the whole environmental public health group together. We're actually moving into a larger section of the current office, and everyone that was in there has to move back over to the space we're in. So there's a lot of, it's just a lot of transition and change and stress. And I think overall, I can't speak for the staff. I think they've tried to do a good job of communicating, but I think it'll be good too. And again, the changes that occurred at Environmental Services, public health didn't have a role in that, but I think, we've been trying to be very welcoming and find a good way to integrate that team. And I'm looking forward to it. I think there's some good synergies in certain areas, like, school program and solid waste. And then there's a lot of issues that make it hard to, there's a lot of food waste because the food rules say, oh, you can't do that. I mean, once the food's been put out on the tray, you can't, the food rules require that you can't then just reuse it. So I'm hoping in the future we can look at stuff like that more synergistically and figure out ways to not waste as much food. And anyway, so I think there's a lot of good opportunities like that.
Let's think about money. Now, we get, I know we all pay for the water runoff. You know,
there's the clean water bill on the assessment, right?
Right, and that's big bucks. Now, how does that get folded into so that it just stays with the water people and doesn't
go with the rest of it? I don't know the exact, I'm assuming that those funds are going to the water people that went to Public Works. But that's, if we could leave that as a question.
And then the garbage funds that we get from the state, tipping and the grants, fees, and all
right.
that go just directly to the solid waste people, right?
Right. I mean, all the CPG.
Nobody's taking the cream off the crop before we get to it.
Oh, no. I mean, I think we're.
Because you're bound by state.
Historically, the funds went to enforcement, like 20%. Went to enforcement, and 80% of the available funds went into education outreach and operations, or mostly education outreach. And again, I think ecology is looking at some of that. By the way, I don't think they're going to. The folks that were getting the 80%, at least when the CPG budget was an issue about a year ago, it'll continue. They were pretty hardcore. Like, don't you change the formula? So I think in our programs that we would maintain that, whatever the state. We'll still get the 20% for the enforcement work, the 80% that comes to the county under the CPG for the work that SWEO has traditionally been doing.
And the rest
I don't see that changing.
So there are funding within the whole thing, too, that comes from taxes, right?
Yeah, you mean the ecology funding? The grant?
No. I mean county taxes that we pay, you know, we just paid in October here, you know, that we pay a county tax.
Mm-hmm.
How much of this, what percentage of this would you guess is not funded by a outside, you know, like the water or the permits? And, you know, I know probably permits might pay for the people who go out and do the inspections on the houses and the water and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. To my understanding, the funds that the SWEO team has historically gotten are the CPG grant funds plus a portion of the tipping fees at the transfer stations. And to my knowledge, maybe there's some general fund in there, but I don't believe there's any in there. I think those are the
two. But there's general funds in the other operations.
In environmental public health?
Right.
Actually, no. I mean, almost all of our other programs are fee-funded.
Fee-funded by
Yeah, the only other exceptions are the site hazard assessment and the local source control. Those are funded by ecology grants. And, solid waste enforcement is the same source of funds that the SWEO team gets. So that's one thing about environmental public health. I mean, everything else, water, septic, food safety, water rec, all that is paid through
permits and fees.
Permit fees.
Okay.
And the only other thing I'll add to this is I think again they looked for where there could be, I'll just speak for leadership, they also just tried to balance staff support and maintaining staff levels as opposed to adding much more management at the top of it. So, but this is where we'll start, and again, I mean, maybe over time, you know, we'll see that we'll come up with a different way to manage things. But right now, this is I think this will work out well. So under enforcement, just a couple quick things. Melissa. She's caught up. There'll be a report, the quarterly report for that program. You know, all the inspection work at next month's meeting, because she'll finish that report for the grant this month. The only thing I wanted to also note, like, you know, we presented to you at a couple different times and answered questions regarding the Circle C landfill. Two things I just wanted to note about that is we did. While Melissa was doing her regular inspection there just actually last week, We did sit down and meet with one of the owners, Karen Carlson, and presented to her the table, the matrix of the requirements for being able to terminate the post-closure permit. And I'll say, I'm not going to speak for the Carlsons, but her immediate response was she didn't think she could do it, you know, that she felt they just couldn't. I don't know what she was expecting us to come back with, you know, that, oh, no, everything's fine, go ahead. But so that was her immediate response, and, you know, we'll wait and see. But I think we feel like we're still going to move forward with it. And one step of the next step of that for us is we are going to present to the Board of Health on the October 26th. That's what I was trying to get my calendar, but I think that's a Wednesday, the last Wednesday, whatever it is, the last Wednesday of October. I think it's the 26th. But anyway, we have a regular, the Board of Health meets on the fourth Wednesday of every month, and we're going to present the table to them, you know, the criteria to them, talk to them about the process we took for it. And I mean, what I think we're, I'll be honest, we're waiting to hear from the PA about what they could or couldn't say about it. I'm sure they'll have questions, like you guys had questions. We'll obviously tell them that we brought it to you, you had a chance to review it, and, you know, recommended that we move forward with it. But if any of you are interested, it's usually like 9 to 10. It's only an hour, and it's up in the chambers. It's the Board of Health is the Board of County Councilors. It's all the same folks.
Did you say the last Wednesday?
I think it's like the 26th.
Yeah, well, 26th is the last Wednesday.
Yeah, so it's probably the last, yeah.
Now, did Melissa check it out? Did she see anything that she was worried about?
No, I mean, I was there with her. I mean, it's just there. When we were out there, I mean, there's a little, I mean, it's a really tiny hose that's coming out from the leachate system, and it was just sort of dripping, just clear-looking water. And yeah, it's fine. I mean, again, I mean, personally, I don't, based on the existing data and what supposedly went in there, again, it's not that we suspect that there's something really nasty coming out of it, but all we're really asking through the criteria is let's get enough data that we can say it with a high level of confidence.
And, but you can see why she wouldn't want to go drilling and
right.
checking and doing stuff like that, especially at her expense.
No, I know. I mean, you know, I wasn't surprised by that response to some extent, but again, I think we just feel like, well, this criteria and what we need to know before we would like not have certain permit and certain due diligence requirements on the landfill, that goes with whoever ends up owning that place, which under one scenario could be the county through a tax foreclosure process, but we at least communicated it to them and they're aware of what we're doing. And and then I think, again, if the board doesn't have any major issues or whatever, we would then plan like a public comment period on the criteria so we could sort of finalize it, and then it's there and it's ready for whoever wants to move forward with it.
Okay, thank you.
So that's all I have.
Was that your personal first trip out there?
No, no, I'd been out there one other time and walked all around. And, yeah.
You didn't sink into anything?
No. It looks pretty benign. But, yeah, it's got gas vents and all kinds of stuff, you know, with the cap. And it's, and then the rest of it's, and, you know, I don't know. And then you got to go way down this ravine. it's like a narrow canyon that goes down the hill. That's why it seems like a tough, that you would never build anything around it anyway. And then,
Well, that's probably why it was chosen in the first place.
Yeah. That's all I have for
you. I wonder where all the solid waste is going then from the casino. Are you getting lots of loads from the casino area, construction stuff? Yeah, I betcha. Okay, we did the enforcement. Rich?
I'll give the...
Yeah, she's going to give the...
Okay.
From the operations side. First, I just want to mention that Jan is here today, and she will come to all of our meetings doing the minutes. So if we want to welcome Jana to the SWAC team.
Mm-hmm. Hi there.
Thank you. And... Also, I wanted to let you know that the next meeting in November will be at the Center for Community Health, so we'll be changing our venue. new space. It'll be fun.
And that room for us over there?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You can't have permanent desks. We don't have room for that. But
no, you're gonna,
we have a meeting.
You can give us a walk around, right?
We can give you a quick tour, yeah. Although, I don't know, it might be in disarray. I know we'll be starting to move in a couple weeks. Certain groups are moving. Anyway, we'll see.
Yeah. the property acquisition for the Turn Lane, it's getting very close. And Mike talked to Derek today, and they think they'll be able to speak about it at the next meeting. So we keep kind of telling you they're going to come to the next meeting. Well, it's finally, he assured me at this point, he's actually certain that he will be. Well, it will be to a point where he can do an update in November. So we'll talk, we'll put that on the agenda. I mentioned to everyone at the last meeting that we put out an RFQ for a block phone fixed facility location to collect and sort and then send out block phone to Far West for recycling from citizens, and that nobody had submitted a quote. The Columbia Resource Company later had submitted a quote, so we're starting that contract, and at Central Transfer Station, they'll start to collect block phone. That's fun.
When?
To be announced.
Okay.
We're not certain yet. We're working on the contract right now. So once the contract gets rolling and we get that all signed, and then we'll talk about, you know, the day of the grand opening, and that would be. And we're thinking more of a slow sort of rollout, so we're not doing, like, you know, a mass amount. People are really interested in block foam, and if we do this big blast, we're just going to be flooded with foam. So we're going to do kind of a slow rollout.
Did you have any trouble getting rid of the stuff you got from the college and from Battleground?
Oh, no. There's a good market for block foam. It's just finding a site to collect it. Getting it there. So we'll start that, and also the ARC of Southwest Washington has expressed some interest, so we're looking into that, and that might be a second location if we're off on that, that's more centrally located, so that'd be nice. We're also starting to look into the whole SWEO team in general, looking into medication, take back. There's some issues with the events with regard to proper sort of transportation, and we'll probably still continue with those, but also looking at having maybe a location at the Center for Community Health where people can drop them off. Walgreens has started to collect medications, but they have a 24-hour, at their 24-hour location at Fisher's Landing, so that's awesome. And there's also an issue with schools not being able to get rid of their medications, so that's, but the last few weeks, the hot topic has been medications. So I just want to give you guys a heads up. For our outreach, on Monday, we had a new AmeriCorps start. My name is Jessica, and we're also recruiting four more AmeriCorps. So if you have any young, interested people that are interested in recycling or natural gardening or anything like that, we are recruiting. We will be, I don't know if they're posted yet, but we are recruiting, and I can send that out once I get it. A good note of that. And the medication take-back event is on Saturday, October 22nd. I handed out flyers at our last meeting, but if you need a copy of the flyer, I can send it to you. And Green Neighbors is celebrating its birthday on October 16th. We have some flyers for that.
I signed up for that, I think.
Nice. It'll be at the Water Resources Education Center. Robert Michael Pyle will be speaking and doing book signing, and there'll be cupcakes. And a lot of, it's all about pollinators, so I'll be there with my son. It'll be fun. And then the Worm Shop and Backyard Composting workshops that are coming up, both of them are full. There's been a lot of interest in worms and composting, so that's great. And we've already had 20 people sign up for the Master Composter Recycling Training. That doesn't start till January. Usually we have a goal of 25, so we're already almost there, so that's amazing. And last week, Green Schools put on its annual teacher training event, and it went really well. The Green School Summit is on November 3rd, which is the same day as a SWAC meeting next month. And green teams from all over the districts will come together at Clark College. It's a pretty fun event with students and teachers. And then Alan mentioned earlier, the Green Business Morning Blend is coming up on October 20th, and it'll be a tour of the transfer station. So about a 1.5 hour tour going through it. And recently, last week, was the Columbia Watershed Festival, and both Pete and Michelle had a presence there, and I have an article that was put in the Camas Washougal Post about it. So. And also, Waste Connections educators were also present, and it was really good. It was very, it was a big success. That's all for my updates. You guys have some questions about any of our events?
Can you give us a quickie as to how Clark College and Battlegrounds
deal
went?
Yeah, so we did have two recycling day events, one at Clark College and then one at Battleground. And Clark College, they were both a success in my opinion. They went really well. Clark College was very, very full. The traffic was, I mean, it was similar to last year, but we did get a few people that were concerned. I thought maybe the rainy weather maybe got people grumpy or something. I don't know. But it went really well. A majority of people that came, I have the numbers somewhere. I can send them to you if you're interested. Came for block foam and paper shredding. But we did get, you know, people with tires and Freon appliances and other items. And similar results for Battleground. Battleground wasn't the chaos it was last year, which was nice. We had 813 people come to Battleground last year. And this year we had 413. And 413 is a more normal, it's still above average than previous years, but that's a more normal rate. Last year was pretty incredible. And just a reminder, you know, we no longer collect the hazardous waste at these events, and they're still getting similar numbers. So. And at the Regional Solid Waste System Steering Committee, which is actually going to be the day before our SWAC meeting, it's scheduled for November 3rd. Right? Or no, wait, it's the day after SWAC. It's on a Friday, right? I believe it's on a Friday. Yeah. So it's actually the day after. So one of the topics for discussion is the recycling day events and this, the whole idea of mobile collections and the hazardous waste system. So if you guys ever, if you have any, we can talk about it at the next SWAC meeting. Anything that you want to bring, that I can bring for comment at the Regional Solid Waste System Steering Committee, I can do that.
Do we have members of the staff here going to that Portland? There was a solid waste type, what do you call it, seminar. In the, this time, about this time frame, and you know, we were wondering if we were going to be represented over there. They're having a big thing like at the convention center.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't remember the dates, and I
was it like an AOR forum?
Yeah, something like that. I brought it up.
I think it was like food waste.
Oh, AOR. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, if it's AOR, we got
people there to see that. Okay. Anything else to add?
I'm good.
Okay. Tanya, the City of Vancouver.
Yes, just one quick update from me tonight. You may have noticed that the seasons have kind of changed, and so leaves will be coming down, and the City and County Leaf Program launched October 1st, and it will run through the end of the year. Leaf coupons will come out with the recycling refresher that Waste Connection sends to every resident in Clark County. There will be a coupon in that refresher when it arrives. It's on the website for the city. You can pick it up at the utilities department for the city or also Clark Public Utilities. It's important to note that in Clark County and City of Vancouver, you cannot sweep or rake leaves into the street. We don't actually have a mechanism for picking up leaves. In Portland communities, you can sweep them in and pay a fee. So it's important for us to let our residents know that that's not actually an option, and that if they sweep the leaves into the streets, it causes localized flooding, and it's very expensive to clean up. So instead, we offer them these coupons, and they can take the leaves to any of four locations that will accept them for composting. no limit on them. You can get as many as you need. And that's all I have.
That's usually well accepted, too. I noticed in the paper, and you've been getting very good coverage, for at least in the city, of what's going on in the thing. Your 22nd of October, you have your Make a Difference Day, and everybody can go out in the parks and pick up cigarette butts. They have they got over 90 pounds last year, and they started in 2011. Something about, what is it, 19 years it takes for a cigarette butt to, the filter to disintegrate, if it ever will. And 90 pounds, can you imagine what 90 pounds of those things would be? Smelly, icky, too.
But
that's what the article is. And we were talking about drug drop-offs. My Army Times this week came out, and it showed that the military, the military that has under TRICARE, which is the add-on for the military, are going to be accepting waste drugs as well. And I don't, of course, we don't have any military facility here that does that, but, you know, if people took their stuff to McCord Air Force Base or the Madigan General Hospital, all those places would have a drop-off place for you.
Would that cover the VA clinic? And
this is just active military, and I don't even think that the Reserve Center would be cranked up for that. Even though they do have a combat service hospital there, but you know, it's a weekend warrior type thing. You know? So, okay, continuing on. Waste Connection.
Yeah, you know, I just had a couple of things that have already been discussed. So.
Can you add or subtract?
No, that's good.
Good, good. Okay. And I guess we've done the Clark County thing, haven't we?
Must have been a carryover.
Okay. Bylaws. We have a set of my ink and my computer. Colored ink died, so I never did get to play with this, but I couldn't see how we could ever. Kim, you must have had a hard time working. You know, I'm looking like you had a war here with all the blood on my sheet.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But anyway, this is, if you go to the back two pages, it's what I think came out of this war that she put up with.
Yeah, and I included in your guys' packets a clean version, and I did hand out in at previous meetings the original. So, but if you want me to put up the original, I can. So there's a copy with all the markups, and then there's a copy of what it would look like without all the red ink.
Do you have a synopsis of the major changes?
So there's the meeting changes. So we would meet every quarter. So no longer, so that section was crossed out. Yeah, at meetings. So regular meetings, a SWAC would be held quarterly. It's on the second page. With a minimum of 4 meetings per year held in February, May, August, and November.
And those match up with some job things that we have to do, like budgets and grants and reports and enforcement and that kind of stuff too, right? So you think that the likelihood of having additional meetings, unless you know something major would show up, would be unlikely.
Well, again, I think, you know, what we want to do is set that as a new base, but I think, again, it would be up to the board, and I think certain activities. So, you know, we presented sort of an example schedule with some nominal activities and dates, but I think one of the things that we haven't attempted to do it, but like we'd love to do the code update. I think we've been waiting to do an update to the county solid waste code. And in that regard, it might be, if we're we don't have a schedule for that yet, but I know we want to get started with it. At least by the latest, the first quarter of next year, we would begin that process and bring that to you guys. So I think if we needed to have a meeting, I think it would make sense to have a meeting just to do work on that or take comments or go through.
No problem.
So that's what we've been talking about. But ultimately, if you read this, it gives you that. You guys could say, hey, we just met, but we really need to meet next month because we'd like to get updates on
that. Yeah, next covers it.
Yeah.
Special meeting can be called by the chair or just a majority of the folks. That's good.
I had an input on the meeting piece. I'm not sure if it would be any value in saying the first Thursday, if that would help or not. We've done that forever, but we don't have to continue. And then I'm also wondering about whether we want to mention that it's advertised, because I think we are doing that, right? We're advertising the meeting so the public's aware and kind of is informed about it.
That's a good idea.
And my comment would be under numeral 2, it probably should be 10 members now instead of 9.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, so it's of at least 9. So so we'll be adding, so it's just at least 9, and so that gives us a little flexibility. Okay. And that matches the RCW. That was my logic.
Okay.
But I can make it specific where it's 10, if that's what you guys want to do.
I'm sure you'll find when you discuss some format and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a lot of work.
And there's still a lot of room for further massaging, and this was my first kind of go at it.
Yeah.
So, whatever. And I looked at the bylaws of other counties as well, and a lot of these comments on the side talk about that. So like other counties typically add this, or, and so we can add those in, or however we want to do it.
I like that it's got that, you know, almost 2 pages, you know, where you have to kill a tree to.
So what are we going to do from this point?
Any discussion on it further?
So do we want to do updates and give like a deadline for any other comments that others might have, and then do the vote next time? Or
I had it and I lost it here when we talk about item C under meetings. But then I thought I saw somewhere where it says that it doesn't matter the number of.
I think I saw that too.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so, yeah, for quorum. So, F. And I made a comment. Most of the bylaws I've come across specify this as 50% of the appointed membership instead of any number.
Okay.
And then, therefore, on, so like you were saying, or is that C? So lack of a quorum wouldn't really exist because we would only have a quorum. So depending on what we want to do. So if we want to continue with it being to where SWAP would always meet regardless of how many members were present, then I can strike that section.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It looks like under G, voting, it says that if we're going to vote or take any actions, which would include, well, maybe not minutes, maybe, but other actions, requires a majority of this membership.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you could still have a meeting, but you might not be able to vote on anything, I guess, if you had less than 5 or 4.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So So would you want to meet, but, I mean, because there could be, where there's not enough SWAC members to vote on anything, but you would be meeting regardless, or do we want to match those up to where you don't meet unless there is enough to vote to make an action?
It's awful hard to tell, because like today, we didn't know that, you know, there's still a couple people missing, and, right. And we had two people yeah. that did tell us.
But it was just today, it was kind of too late to bail.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we should go ahead with the meeting and proceed that way.
Okay.
Yep. And, you know, and I think moving forward, if we have four scheduled and assuming that we'll probably have six, possibly seven, you know, I would hope, my hope would be that attendance improves.
Yeah, and then I think there is an attendance section that yeah. I wrote some notes about what other counties do. So I believe our existing one is already there. So I didn't do any editing in the attendance section. The reason it's red is I just moved it. So I've reorganized the bylaws to be a little bit, so they all kind of lined up better. But I put a note there. Of what I would suggest to be more simpler. And then also, especially since we're only meeting four times a year, I think attendance would be a lot more strict. If that's my comment or suggestion. So it would be if they're absent from over 50% or have accrued two or more unexcused absences, so that would be from required meetings. So that would be missing half of the meetings in a year. And they would have to be unexcused, not, right. you know, like if they just didn't show up, didn't say anything, right. you know.
Are you going to track this?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, we do track it.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
So change it to the comment?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I'm going to do my edits.
Okay. Perfect. And then, so on D, I think it's or C, officers under C. This is the existing bylaws language, but we didn't follow it when Don left. So I just wanted to know if we wanted to keep it this way or if we wanted to do, or change it into the way that we did do it. I mean, Alan ended up being voted anyways to be the chair, but the original intent is that Alan would step up and fill that chair position until it expired, and then there would be an election for the chair.
Doesn't matter to me.
I'm okay with this language.
I am too.
So next time we'll just have to remember.
So we don't need to vote on this today,
no.
But we take this home, chew it up again, mm-hmm. and if you have concerns, get it to Kim, and she can put it in concrete then for us for November, right? Mm-hmm.
And something else I noticed in the other bylaws is that, so we have terms that are 3 years, but our officer positions are 2 years. So you can see how that can create issues with yeah. somebody. So we can continue it that way. Most other jurisdictions do it as 1 year terms. So then there's no, but it's the way we've always done it. So, but I just wanted to bring it up for discussion.
Mm.
Or they can be aligned to where they're 3 years, so it's the same length. I mean, there's going to be crossover regardless because people's terms don't line up.
Right.
But
On the section of the amendments, you were recommending that we take out the, on page 2-3, mm-hmm. right at the bottom, you're recommending we take out that final action will not be taken for the subsequent meeting, otherwise it would take two meetings to occur?
Sorry, where are you?
It's on...
amendment.
Oh,
amendment,
yeah.
Under amendments. Mm-hmm. So we'll be doing that amendment, I guess. I'm not sure what the current... The current one, I think, says that, right?
Yeah, that's yes. what we have to
so, do. So that means that now we're discussing, and then we will take action at the next meeting, mm-hmm. and then it would go effective. And the next meeting might be...
February. Yeah. So if we wanted to make an edit after we have already edited all this and we approve it and we kept this language, then it would take 6 months to approve it.
Yeah.
Unless Ellen called a special meeting for the purpose of
any other issue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, doesn't matter how the meeting
got
put together.
Yep.
And it has to be in a meeting because there are email. You added email approval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could a vote be taken by email?
Yeah, and we can add that in. Maybe our event amendments not allowed or allowed to be approved via email. We might want to specify that.
So how does an email vote play out in terms of public noticing of the vote?
I guess it would depend on what it was for. Because if it's for something for permitting, I mean, that probably wouldn't be appropriate via email. But if it's something internally, just between Slack, I don't see that being a... Unless you do you know otherwise, or...
Yeah, I'm not sure how you would make that decision.
You know, right. I'm just thinking, if we're a public group,
right,
and the door is open, for the public to observe, and we have transparency. Once you start doing things electronically, you start losing some of that transparency. Mm-hmm. That's. Mm-hmm.
I think there's rules on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I sit on a couple different boards, and we've had this discussion. What's allowed to be voted on by email?
Yeah.
But I can't think of it right now tonight. But I know there are some procedures. That are rules.
Right.
Okay. So yeah, there could be things that are not allowed.
Yeah.
Look that up.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'm always going to err on the side of transparency.
Yeah.
All right. No, that's a good point. No.
I agree.
We definitely want to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll vote on everything next time. But I'd like to come at the next meeting with kind of like a document that's what we discussed today.
Amen.
So do we want to strike that section?
Can you look up and see what there is on electronic voting?
There may be some precedent that's appropriate.
Yeah, there is.
We're just not knowledgeable.
We can look into that.
Mm-hmm. And we could add a section that outlines that, what's appropriate and what's not appropriate.
You have that section saying a vote may be taken by mail with the approval of the chair, maybe subject to state guidelines on when that's acceptable. Whatever, if we have a reference to put in there or something.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's good to have. Okay.
And then we also wanted to add in, especially since we'll have 10 members, that in the event of a tie, the chair would decide the vote.
Yeah.
Just so there's never a situation.
Okay. Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's why they had 9
of them. They don't now, though.
And also, this was here before, it said minutes of the previous meetings may be approved by majority vote of the members present. So you guys did that today, but I don't think that's always been done in the past, where only the people voting are the ones that attended the last meeting. We would have to better track that.
Yeah, I think through the years, people have been pretty good about abstaining.
Okay.
You know, when they've missed.
Great. So we'll, I'm going to create a little... like check off document so that when on we'll pass it around every meeting and that way there's like a history and we'll always have that so we'll know exactly who was present and who wasn't. I know it's in the minutes too or for mm-hmm. from the previous meeting, but it's also good to just have
a graphically see.
Yeah. I'm going to start that.
Put smileys and frownies. Emotions, or whatever they call them. Well, I'd like to thank you for all your chewing up of this stuff, because this is not fun.
She also spent time researching other SWACs and stuff, so
it
was really good.
Again, we didn't have to invent the cart, you know, just had to figure out how to put the wheels and everything together.
Mm-hmm. And I also added, I saw this in other bylaws, and I thought it was a good idea, that there's a little part on the bottom that says the last time it was revised. I don't know when the first edition of the bylaws were created, so unfortunately I can't add that in. And then we would continue to mark when things were revised. And then the committee chair would sign it. So we would also, it would be more of an official document.
Yep.
That's all good.
And then I also added a staff section that better outlines what we do, what level of technical assistance we provide.
I didn't see anything in there about crumpets and drinks. but that's appreciated.
Good. Yeah, if you can send me additional comments, that'd be great. And I can incorporate it all and maybe create kind of an outline of what we decided to change. And then we can vote on each of those at the next meeting.
Okay. Have we talked about any further discussion on the amendments? Okay, under part four, we have an Agriculture Southwest representative update. We've sort of done that, haven't we?
We talked a little bit about it.
That was number 10, Matt?
The 10th member? I think that there's some more things we wanted to talk about, what we've been doing. And go ahead.
So we did go through, we put out a news release, we tried to recruit a Southwest Washington or Southwest Clark County position. We only got one applicant, and we didn't feel, we would like to get more applications. And the unfortunately the best way is through word of mouth. So please. Like, tell everyone you know.
That lives in the Southwest.
Who lives in the Southwest area. And then it also came to our attention that we need an agriculture and that our SWAC is out of compliance until we get an agriculture rep. So right now we are out of compliance. So we're working to develop like a recruitment flyer, sort of one-page document that outlines what SWAC is, you know, what roles somebody on SWAC would do, what kind of representative we're looking for. Because the news release and everything, I just don't think it, I think people need more information. And that might be what's stalling. And also be, you know, a nice pretty document, and we'd include it with the news release and send it out. And we'll develop two different ones, one for the ag rep and one for the Southwest Washington, I keep saying Washington, Clark County, position, and that would also include a map on it, because I think it's kind of hard to figure out, like, am I under this street or west of this street? Like, it's much, people are very visual. And then, so we're working on a communications plan right now for those. So right now we're still developing that flyer. And what we plan to do is for the agriculture position, send it out to agencies like the Clark County Conservation District, WCU Extension, and the Farm Bureau. And
how about all these master composters and all that? There should be somebody on there that would do this.
Yeah.
You know, you keep graduating these classes, just go back to your list of who attended before and, you know, send them an invite.
Yeah.
Well, and I don't think, like, the other thing that and I'll talk to the staff. Yeah, the staff are interacting with people all the time.
Right.
The Green Business Program.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we've asked them to, like, just think of people they've worked with that might be good members of the SWAC and make a direct appeal to people to provide them with this information that we're developing. And that's another way we could, right, they're active enough, they're in the community that our folks are working with them. And so that's another way we think we might hopefully generate more interest and get more applicants.
Because I don't think you're going to get Farmer Brown. You know, you probably aren't going to get Farmer Brown. You know, it's probably, you can try, but you know.
Yeah. It's hard to know.
If we got somebody that, you know, works at WSU Extension or the Water Conservation District.
Or master gardeners.
That'd be great to have that representation from our agriculture community.
WSU must have a listing of all those master gardeners, I'm sure, that are in the, you know, in a database someplace. Just fire out a postcard to them and say, come on along.
But our Southwest Washington representative, too, we do need. And so think of avenues that, you know, please let me know. You know, we've thought of, you know, neighborhood associations. And, but I'm sure there's other groups or communities that you might know that we could send it directly to, and they could share it out. So that'd be great. I mean, Southwest Clark County is, you know, the city of Vancouver. And, I mean, it's a big area. So I feel like we should get more than one applicant.
Yeah. Well, Sarah had, you know, a couple of her coffee clutches out in that area. You know, she might know people, you know, that.
And it would be really great to get people with, you know, at least some solid waste background. So that's why word of mouth is usually the best way to go.
I just had another idea. We get a lot of solid waste complaints. So we'll make sure that anyone who's calling from Southwest will say, hey, by the way.
That's nothing wrong.
If you really want to be active.
Nothing wrong with that. Because, you know, they're concerned citizens or they wouldn't call you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And then along with, you know, these new members, I am still developing that handbook. So I'm ready to go once we recruit those people.
Again, thank you for all that effort, too. Legislative update,
Well, yeah, so that's a little bit of a misnomer, because I realized that the legislature is, because I thought there was some more active stuff going on right now with the budget, and I really couldn't find anything. So what I wanted to do is update on rulemakings, and I didn't keep a copy for myself, but in the packet, there's a table. You have the extra.
Kim, a quickie question. You said we were out of compliance.
Yes.
What compliance? Oh,
thank you.
Have we violated?
All right, it's just the RCW code that says we must have.
Is that the new one that just.
Right, June, it was effective like June 9th.
Okay. Yeah, and so basically.
So it's not anybody's fault here?
No.
Okay.
And frankly, I mean, we weren't directly contacted.
Right, yeah, there was no outreach. It was made effective, and after last meeting, we were like, hey,
we stumbled upon it.
Did they bring it up when you were up at Lacey?
Nope. Do you think they would have?
Yeah. I mean, if everybody.
Yeah. Well, it's separate from the rulemaking. You were there, too.
Yeah, it's different rulemaking.
Yeah, and it was. But we'll get there.
It's not like a horrible situation or something like that. We need someone right now. But it's just something that, you know, we're out of compliance. It's not happening, you know, but.
I mean, there was some language about your funding. So that's why we're getting started on getting someone here for when the grant period comes back around. I'll be honest, I don't know. Well, hopefully we'll get some interest, but again, I wonder if you try to bring someone and you just can't get anyone to join the SWAC from the ag community, you know, go back to them and say, well, what are we supposed to do, you know? Do you want us to kidnap somebody? I mean, hopefully we'll get some interest.
Open it up to everybody then and just name him as the agriculture guy.
Yeah, that's the other way.
Well, if it's tied to funding, you could start paying us.
Yeah. Bagels go along.
Oh, the bagels are pretty good.
I would say bagels go along.
Some fresh fruit. So I just wanted to, so on the top two, there is a reference. So I thought it might be worthwhile to look at sort of solid waste rules that are, and I'm not familiar deeply with all of these, but I at least wanted to kind of bring current rulemakings that ecology is undergoing at the moment, just for those that were interested. And I'll start with the, you know, the solid waste handling standards. So there was a draft informal rule that was out. I know several folks. I know Melissa and Kim had started to look at it and provide, you know, start making comments and suggested edits. And you went to the big meeting and the presentation on it. So we've started collecting comments, but the comment period for the informal is closed on the 6th. Now, they still haven't updated on their website when they'll be doing the proposed rule along with a second, more formal comment period. But I think what we'd like to get everyone prepared for that one, we've already started that work, we'll continue that work. But once we have a timeline for the, then we'll definitely want to focus in on when the timeline is due for comments, work with SWAC for any input you have, finish putting together what we'll do. So that one we've already started working on. I don't know if we'll need to work on all of them, but that's the one I think that's most important to us, that affects us the most.
Yeah,
the county.
Working on this, too.
And so all I did here was just trying to provide
you guys on lunch.
The title of the rules that Ecology is currently working on, a summary. Most of that summary is from their own webpage. But at the top, in the the upper part, is the link to, and this hasn't been sent electronically, but we can send it out, to where they have a rule, open rulemaking page at Ecology that, and I only included on here, there were some that were closed last year, so I didn't include anything. I included a few that were completed and are effective recently, but then the rest are open. The other rule that they're working on is to take 173.312 that addresses the grants, that the coordinated prevention grants, and the local solid waste enforcement grant regulation, which definitely affects our work. And basically here what they're planning to do is fix some fiscal year alignment on the grant cycle to help it coincide better. They're going to actually fold in, a lot of it's apparently redundant. They're going to fold in parts of 173.13 into 312, and then eliminate 312 because it's just, I think there's a lot of redundancy in the two, and so they're just going to try to be more efficient, bring it together and combine them basically. And they do, it's all around the same funding sources, so I think there's a convenience for them. So that, again, that went through an advisory committee, and that was completed. But again, that's one, we're currently on their website. They have no date yet for proposed rule and public comment period. But again, so we'll just start tracking these. And again, if we feel there's a need for us to comment, make recommendations, we'll engage with the SWAC and keep you apprised. Another one that's currently open, they're updating the battery recycling, but I think it's more cleaning up the current codes and the current rules to who sells batteries, who can purchase them. And it's mostly to affect the folks that can take batteries and recycle them or sell them and recycle them. So there's also, a fee that used to be charged that they're just going to have folks who are licensed to do these types of activities just sign up online, and Ecology will manage that.
Chuck, back into the grants. What's your feeling on this? Do we get our fair share, or do we do better than average? Where are we on this kind of stuff?
Well, I'm not, I can't speak so much to the education outreach grants. I mean, again, those were cut significantly by close to 50% because the CPG had run out. Now, what happened on, so I don't know. I mean, I don't think any of us really know right now what's going to happen because the gas revenues are still down. So I don't know what the funding's going to look like. But again, that was apportioned equally. I mean, the 50% cut was 50% for everybody. Now, on the enforcement side, what they decided to do was under the enforcement grant, which is 20% of those funds that went to all the counties. Every county, I think it was an equal apportionment. Every county got about 160,000, even little teeny counties in the east side, got about $160,000. But a lot of larger counties were also getting that same amount. And so you cut that in half, and so there was a couple of meetings. I called into one of them, and what they ended up doing with the 20%, just temporarily, was to they created a formula of like a minimum of like 50,000 or 54. It's only 54,000 for the even the smallest county, so everyone gets at least a nominal amount of that. And then from the rest of the remainder of the 20% funds, there's a population formula. So when this occurred last a year ago or a little over a year ago, we ended up only losing about 10% of our prior year's budget because of our population, the population rebalancing.
Okay, now.
So I think that was fair. That made sense just when you think about it.
Okay, now those
and a lot of small counties didn't even need all the money they needed.
Those are equally mandated, though. Now, how about ones that we apply for? Do we do better than average? Do we have grant writers that can do a good job? Where are we on this?
No, I don't know about other grants that we apply for, because like in enforcement we haven't applied for other grants.
I understand that they're mandated, but aren't there just that pot of money up there? Somebody must have one for, something for, you have a request, a need, or whatever, and you go in and maybe you get it, maybe you don't, just like a grant system in education, let's say.
I think the way that it works on the CPG ones, not the enforcement ones, but the other ones, is they do an allocation for your county based on population, and then you get to apply for that, and that's kind of reserved for you as long as you apply. So it's not a competitive grant, typically.
Right.
That's the normal two-year grant.
No, great. Yeah, thanks for coming.
And then once that maybe somebody doesn't spend all of theirs, then they roll it back into the offset cycle, and then it's more of a competitive grant. So that's kind of in other years, it's a little extra bonus money. But I think we've gotten the amount they've allocated to us pretty much every year.
Right.
When they did do the cuts, there was some discussion around the state about, King County and Pierce County, they've got lots of staff. We maybe don't need our full share of the allocation, and maybe we can let some of that go so that some of the smaller counties get funding to at least keep a position or whatever. So there was some of that where there was a little bit of a slide, they kind of set up a bit of a sliding scale. But we basically get our allocation and then apply for it, and they may negotiate a little bit about, why don't you do this instead of that? And so basically you get the money that's due you.
But if a special need comes up, can you apply and see if they'll fund it?
Only in that off cycle.
Right.
It's like, I think like the $60,000 we got to do the CTR reuse program where they pulled stuff out of the floor. I think that came from an offset grant, if I'm remembering right.
But you have to write it.
It's more competitive than people.
If you have grant writer people.
Yeah, I don't think we have folks that are specifically grant writers. I think it's
additional duty. Grants and contracts team, but that's, they're not specific to solid waste.
Right.
And also with the CPG grant, I don't think those offset cycles are really there. The money's not there anymore for that because of all the cuts. But that's the only grant that we do. Everything else is out of the fees, the admin fees, which is a majority.
So I'll move on to the, there's also an open rulemaking. Well, these last two were ones that were just completed in the last year. There was a mercury containing lights. I just included these because they were fairly recent. But there was, again, I think updates to mercury containing lights product stewardship program and that became effective last month on the 23rd. And then finally, there was an electronics products recycling that I think we talked about that at a prior meeting, but had adopted amendments to that. And I think that was based in response to changes that the legislature had made.
Does Melissa or anybody check the PUD and what they do with what they got?
She she doesn't, you know, she doesn't do inspections.
They do the bulbs and they do everything, you know, mercury and all
yeah,
that.
I don't think she's I'm not aware of her inspecting any of their facilities.
I'm not saying that there's any problem. I'm just wondering if who has oversight over that, because they must
have their fluorescent light bulb take back permit.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I can see that, but I'm just wondering, you know, in their operations and that. For instance, Legacy Hospital was built 11 years ago, and that high-rise parking structure, mm-hmm. they put in fluorescent bulbs. Mm-hmm. Well, they came along last year or maybe a year and a half ago and put LEDs in, and of course being nice and bright and everything else, cut the power in half and everything else. Well, it was interesting what you do with all those bulbs. You know, mm-hmm. that's a lot of bulbs.
Yeah. Well, they would have qualified for this small quantity generator.
Yeah, I think so.
And I know they're part of the, at least for the residential drop-off, they're part of the Light Recycle in Washington. Yeah. So I know that's where they send all those bulbs.
Well, they say you're supposed to only get six, but I've been back there several times more than six. And they don't care. It just, if you bring one in, you get one with the, when you go out. Mm-hmm. So that pretty much covers the legislative scheme of things.
Yeah, and again, that's a little bit of a misnomer. It's just a rulemaking, you know, current rulemaking or recent rulemaking that affects solid waste programs.
Okay. Is there any other business to attend to? Anybody bring in more clippings? There's an article today's paper about Vancouver Clinic. Named the champion of sustainability by the Seattle Seahawks champion of sustainability award, and I want to give that to Sarah because they're not part of the green business team. And how could they be the world's greatest and greenest if they're not part of the green team?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll give that to Sarah. Put her when she gives her something, she goes after it.
Yes.
Okay, anything else? Okay, if there's nothing else, we can call the meeting adjourned.